Blog Talk Radio.
It's August 17th, 2020, and this is the TS Radio Network. I'm your host, Marty Oakley, and joining me tonight is John LaCron. And as you know, John is a leading expert on the Constitution and how things are constructed, erected, and what they're doing to us that you may not know about. I want to remind you also that these shows are brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit that takes place in Washington, D.C. annually. And this year, of course, we did it on the net because of all this faked up virus stuff. And so I kind of miss going out there. It is tough making that trip. And if you're not used to wading through BS, it's kind of a difficult place to be. But anyway, you know, John, I one thing I noticed out there, and I'm sure you've been to D.C., I actually almost got sick. Actually, I did border on being very sick at my stomach. There is something, I hesitate to use the word evil, but I don't know any other word for it, that emanates from the ground out there. It just permeates everything, and it's overwhelming. And I heard other people referring to that, too, that they had this odd sense of doom and disaster out there. And yet, when you crossed the Potomac and got out of the area, that went away. And I think there has been so much evil doing out there of one kind or another that it has just infested everything. But what we're going to be talking about tonight is anarchy. Woo! And I know there's several of you out there that are going, oh, they're anarchists. I know they don't want to obey the law and they just want to do whatever they want and they don't care. Yeah, shut up, okay? Why don't you listen to this show and see if you can learn something about what anarchy actually is and why it's desirable to be an anarchist. And I wanted to point something out with all this virus hoax-up crap that's going on. And if you're buying into that, there's nothing I can do for you anyway. But anyway, Berlin this last week had a protest that as an American would have made me proud if it had happened here. There were tens of thousands, literally tens of thousands of people who filled the street from building to building, intersection to intersection, as far as you could see down all the side roads. And of course, that got blacked out here in the U.S. But protesting these lockdowns that are destroying the economy and the orders to wear face masks. I wish we had as much spine. I think those days are gone for us. John, I don't know what your thoughts are, but when I look around at this age and where I came from, I've often talked about when I came out of high school, there were, you know, the biggest job you wanted to get was at the post office because it paid so good and it had benefits, or you went in the military. But the point was, you came out of high school thinking this was the grandest, most noble, most wonderful country there ever was. And all these years later, I'm looking over all that this country has done, not only to its own people, but to other peoples in the world. And honest to God, I'm ashamed. I am ashamed of what we actually stand for. Every time they raise the flag, I expect blood to drip off of it. I think it would be more accurate, but those are my thoughts. John, you have a particular subject you want to talk about tonight, so why don't you lead out with that and give us a hint what you're going to be talking about.
Hey, good evening, Marty. Yeah, I titled this one, The Art of Being a Rebellious Anarchist on a Statist and Conformist Slave Planet. You know, Marty, we just don't fit in anymore. I mean, that's pretty much obvious.
No.
I think anybody that through a show we've done at least once or twice kind of starts to get the feeling, you know what, they don't quite think like we do. And, you know, folks, it's not that we're deliberately trying to get out here and cause all kinds of aggravations. We're not here trying to just arbitrarily shove our philosophical opinion down your throats, okay? But we just have a way of where we're looking at things from a different angle. And when we sit here and we try to have a real conversation, and believe you me, this is talk radio, so this is what we do here on talk radio anyway, and especially with people like Marty and me, we're here having a discussion about what we see, what we're surrounded by, and why, there's the important question, why it is relevant. You know, if you've ever watched the Matrix series, there's that one scene there, you know, they refer to it as the restaurant scene. And you see the main character show up and the guy that's eating at the table there, him and his wife, and he's discussing the cake and such. But he says, here you come to me without the why. And I would encourage all of you to just go to YouTube again and just watch that 2-minute clip about the why. Because the problem is too many people are refusing to ask the question, why? And he reminds them, hey, you're doing what you're told. So you can go do what I'm telling you to now, okay? He put it right out there. You know, go back to your little, you know, woman over there and tell her what I told her, okay? This is what slaves do. They do what they're told. And frequently they do so because they simply don't know any better. They're under the mistaken impression that they're doing it for all the right reasons. You know, when we say, well, we're going to war, you know, taking democracy to the rest of the planet, amen. Okay, well, again, folks, unless they were asking to be, you know, controlled, ruled, and literally managed from birth till death by corporations, I think they might have a disagreement about whether or not they would like to live in a quote-unquote democracy. You know, Marty and I think have both told you all, folks, that democracy is simply two wolves and a sheep voting what's for dinner. And a republic is, of course, where two wolves and a sheep are voting, and the sheep is armed, so it might decide to contest the vote. So we do have philosophical opinions about the world as we see it. When we ask the question, why government? You've heard me talk about on this show that the word government comes from two Latin words. They are gouvernare, and that's where you get the word governor or government. That means to control, and mente, Latin for mind. So the word government is literally means mind control. And when you truly think about it, isn't that what's taking place? Don't we sit there and say, well, we cannot deal with these problems individually. We must band together to make sure that all of this is taken care of, and so we put certain people in charge. We have to have armies and navies, and who will build the roads, who will have the schools, and, you know, we get the same old, same old. We forget that there's another way of doing things. It's called voluntarism. And again, if you don't know, historically speaking, well, every little community had its own little quote-unquote army, if you will. And that was just all the men aged 16 to 60 that were capable of handling a gun, that in a time of emergencies, they got called up and often battle whoever the local invader was. But no, we've convinced other people that we need to have standing armies. And again, even our founding quote-unquote fathers said standing armies are not a good thing. And you see the end result of it. And when Marty and I use terms like the Blue Mafia or the Bar Mafia, okay, the Blue Mafia, of course, you know, costumes, badges, and guns running around, we call them privateers for a reason, because that's what their actual job title is. That's what their job is. They're there to make contract and to extort and exploit. Now, I know a lot of people out there saying, no, they're good people. The whole world would be chaotic if it weren't for these police officers and these sheriffs, Shire Reeves. And again, well, I'm looking around in places like Chicago, New York, and all these other places, Los Angeles, so they got police officers too. Well, the corruption is still there, the crime is still there, and the murders are still there, and the bodies are stacking up, and the drugs are still getting distributed. And, you know, we can argue this all day long, but long story short, again, we have forgotten the simple principle, first of all, to live in a society, you have to be a part of the society, and the philosophical opinion is simple. Do no harm. Again, you've heard me and Marty both talk about this extensively. Do no harm is not complicated. Do no harm is simple. Do no harm is legitimate law. Because when you go through life doing no harm, there is no harm party. But when they say, well, these police officers are helping keep society the way they are, yeah, maybe an occasional, but you also have a high body count of people that they've murdered. And yes, I will call it a murder, especially when they shoot somebody in the back or shoot their animals or whatever because they were in fear for their life. I mean, I swear, I've never seen such a group of cowards. And the first one of you that comes to me and says, John, how dare you say that? What do you know about, you know, what they have to go through? Hello, I used to be a soldier. I call that a soul dire, by the way, but a soldier, been shot at, done some shooting myself, okay? So I don't even want to go there. I can assure you, who these people have been shooting aren't the same thing as a foreign army armed to the teeth ready to shoot back. Totally different concept. Well, how dare you be an armchair quarterback? Again, I've watched more than a few videos, and yes, you have to make instantaneous decisions. I recognize that. But instantaneous decisions don't include emptying your clip into people. You minimize and terminate the risk, but not at the expense of the body. In other words, you wound them. They're out of the game. They did something wrong. If there was a crime that was committed, then they can answer for it before the jury. But here's the problem. You have a standing army, and it's not the one that we talk about all the time. And by the way, United States Army, United States Air Force, United States Marine Corps, United States, all of that is just more corporations, okay? So here we are with a standing army with costumes, badges, and guns. And for those of you folks that do not know what a badge is a symbol. It is a symbol for what is called a letter of mark and reprisal. And again, folks, that's in your quote-unquote constitution if you decide that you want to be party to it. Yours truly has no desire to be party to that dead instrument because that's exactly what it is. But here it is. They make the decision to willfully participate in the extortion and racketeering. You look at how the jail cells are full of people, and then you sit there, and if you would go through all of those jails and a lot of those prisons and start finding out how many people are actually in there for real crimes, where there's a real harm party, murder, rape, you know, robbery, whatever. Those are real crimes. Those have real victims. And yes, those people need to be separated from society. They need to be punished for that. But if you've been listening to me and Marty on the show long enough, you also know that there's a flip side to that coin. And it's this. It's the prison industrial complex. People get thrown in cages, not for committing a crime where there's a harm party, but for contract violations. They're thrown in a cage because they were smoking on a plant. They've made a plant illegal, even though it is not unlawful. And remember, folks, the word legal and lawful are two different things. I like to put it this way. In the world of legal, Nazi Germany, it was legal to murder people. After World War II, when the Allies were there, they had trials, you know. Well, it may have been legal to murder people, but it wasn't lawful. And all those murderers and rapists and all those other scumbags worked for the Nazis, well, they will wind up against a wall and shot, or they were hung from the necks, or here's the one that really irritates me, shipped over here and over other countries in Operation Paperclip to continue their experiments and all their criminality. And we wonder how we ended up in the society that we live in now. So there we are, folks. We're talking a little bit about anarchy. And for clear definition, we have to define terms. Anarchy is simple. No masters, no slaves. Again, anarchy. No masters, no slaves. Now, they say that all these quote-unquote protesters are anarchists. No, and they're not protesters either. Okay? We are seeing chaos. Chaos. That is what is happening. And rioting is not protesting. There are legitimate protesters amongst those people, but there are also paid provocateurs. There are agents of corporations put there to deliberately cause these problems. And why would that be? Because going back to what Marty opened the show with, talking about over in Germany, where you get tens of thousands of people marching down the street saying, we're tired of it. Enough is enough. But they want to make it illegal. And what's the other thing that they're doing? Well, we don't want large groups gathering together. They might have actually something to say. People actually have to pay attention to thousands of people walking down the street carrying signs. So we get this COVID hoax and all this other crap associated with it. And then we wonder why we have no quote-unquote rights. And I've told you, folks, slaves don't have rights. You don't. And I'm not going to go into it on this show because we do not have the time for it. But if you have not learned how the slave system was implemented, you can go back in the archives and listen to me and Marty as we talk about that. But in a nutshell, it's personage and it's baratry and it's capitis diminutio maxima. Capitis diminutio maxima. And that's all we're going to cover on that. All right. Now, we get told that the United States Constitution is the highest law of the land. Okay, again, what a fraud that is. Because even if you read the Constitution, it actually tells you it's not the highest law in the land. It tells you two different things. First of all, any treaties made with any foreign entity, company, corporation, or landmass, kings, queens, all those, take precedent over the Constitution. They are superior to it. Oops, we forgot about that little note in that quote-unquote Constitution. Well, why did we forget about it? Because they don't want us to remember. And read it for yourself, folks. I'm not coming up with anything new and unique. It's right there, front and center. It's right there. But even that's not even the highest law of the quote-unquote land. Because originally it was supposed to be, in theory, quote-unquote, where the people were still in charge. That's what we're supposed to have. That's what they keep telling us this wonderful document does. And we have these things called the Bill of Rights, you know, the first 10 amendments of the Constitution. Not that they've been honored in any way, shape, or form, because anybody paying even the slightest bit of attention knows they haven't been honored in decades, if not the entirety of the quote-unquote document. Yeah. Very different world than what we're seeing. A lot of fantasies out there, a lot of people with a lot of wishful thinking, but I'm here to tell you that wishful thinking doesn't make it a reality. Doesn't make it at all. I keep reminding people, that slavery issue, go ahead and read the 13th and the 14th Amendment over and over and over again until you actually read and comprehend what it is telling you. Didn't make slavery illegal. Didn't do it at all. It legalized slavery. They just called it a little bit different words. Come on, folks. We can do better than this. All right. In a nutshell, the power of the purse, that's one of the things that they've stolen from us. You know, back in the original founding of the documents of this quote-unquote corporation/country, you had, of course, the gold and silver would buy metalism. And that was the quote-unquote money. And it was understood, and everybody, all the different countries around the globe, traded in those. because it was real. It was tangible. It didn't rot. It didn't have different problems that way. And the good news is that 1 ounce and 31.1 grams, a troy ounce of gold or silver, is the exact same thing here in America as it is over there in Argentina or Russia or England or any of these other places. It's the same thing. Whatever the purity is here, the purity is over there, whether it's 9995 or, you know, 0.583, if that's your 14 karat, whatever. The purity stays the same based on whatever definition you want the purity to be. So you had something that was real, where honest measure, honest weights and measure come into place. And if you've been following the conspiracy going on behind the scenes with regards to America's gold, well, there seems to be some disagreement about whether we even have any, meaning the corporation, and some of those bars that they keep issuing out, well, it seems to have some tungsten tied into it. Well, gee, how did that might have happened? Oh, yes, the bankers. All right, well, aside from the power of the purse, you know, they stole the gold in 1933. They stole the silver in 1965, so you've been basically under the fiat currency system since that time. And of course, that proverbial statement, we are all Keynesians now. We are all Keynesians now, by Nixon. Yeah, well, we sure are, because everybody now went to an all floating currency. And again, folks, if you're not aware of it, we are going through a currency reset. And it's not just here in America, it is the entire planet. This is the global economic reset that they've been talking about since 1988. Well, aside from giving up that particular power, which is, of course, value of whatever they replace with the Federal Reserve note, which is, of course, you know, negotiable debt instrument of the private foreign banking cabal. And the other thing we gave up is the power of the sword. What is the power of the sword? The power of self-defense. Again, you go to all these different state of corporations, counties, cities, and that kind of a thing, and all of a sudden the right to defend yourself isn't that blatant anymore. It's not. And now they look at you as being a potential problem just because you're carrying around a gun. Why is that? Well, the gun control people say they want gun control. They have this mental state that only government should have guns. Yeah, when we sit down, we point to the fact that it's been government, quote-unquote, throughout the ages, especially in the last 150 years, that has done horrendous amounts of damages when they're the only ones with the guns. Well, looking at the tens of millions and probably in the hundreds of millions of people that have died at the hands of their, quote-unquote, government. Well, gee, you know, we get all excited when there's a mass murder of 3, 4, 5 people in the local community. Well, what happens when you've got an entire army that shows up and that army starts murdering people, but it's not a few people here, a few people there? No, it's hundreds of thousands into the millions. And then you start targeting people regardless of whether they're military or not. Again, war crimes. Civilians suffer right alongside the military personnel. Murdering men, women, children, old people, young people, doesn't matter. It's all for corporate profits. Military-industrial complex must go on. And all foreign enemies, you know. Well, they're all these proverbial nail that needs to be hit with our very big hammer. Well, that's what they're doing. Welcome to the world that we live in. So we give up our rights to keep and bear arms. Again, we don't have rights. Slaves don't have rights. Slaves have duties and responsibilities. If that's not bad enough, pharmaceuticals, again, we've medicated a high percentage of our population. You know, they took away all the things that are supposed to help keep us with mentally balanced. And one of those things is, of course, food. And people don't realize it, but nutrition plays a huge, huge impact on emotional state and physical health. Okay? But what they've done is they've replaced legitimate food with all this genetically modified garbage, and of course any of these things that, you know, they try to pawn off as being food but are anything but. And then we wonder why we have all these sick people running around. And this is especially prevalent with women. Women go through these emotional ups and downs like a yo-yo. drives a lot of us men crazy. But again, the problem isn't what we're told it is. The simple problem is this. They're not getting the right vitamins and minerals. So they, in turn, you know, need quote-unquote medication. And what do we do now? John, little Johnny or little Susie goes to quote-unquote public indoctrination centers. They masquerade as schools. And then they turn around and say, well, little Johnny or little Susie is just not very attentive, probably because they're bored to tears and their minds are not going to take in the garbage. They got better things to do for them. Well, yeah, probably some of that. Things they learned 3-4 years ago. Mom and Dad taught them when they were three. Now they're trying to teach them again, and they don't need it. No. Well, instead of treating them as what they are, give them more challenging work to get them more involved in their education. No. Oh, they got issues, so we've got to medicate little Johnny or little Susie. Again, well, now you started another cycle. And don't even get me started on what that stuff does, because there haven't been very many studies done, if there are any at all. And there's already been direct links between some of these quote-unquote school shootings and some of these medications by Big Pharma. But hey, no, this is all conspiracy theory. There's no facts there, Marty. Before I continue, did you want to interject anything? Well, since I didn't get any response to that, I'm assuming she's busy doing some other things, so here we go some more. So if that isn't bad enough, Big Pharma playing its role, we've also got fluoride in the water. And I like to remind people that the very first people to put fluoride in the water were the Nazis in their prison camps, because they determined that it helped to control the population. You know, they don't want the slaves getting all upset. And fluoride seemed to take away some of their bite, okay? GMO, we've already talked about that. Drugs and alcohol, again, there's a reason I call the CIA the cocaine importing agency, okay? And we've already talked on the show several times about the military-industrial complex and how the military has been used to protect the poppy fields over in Afghanistan, okay? Well, the Taliban had done away with the poppy fields, literally. I mean, it was done. It was gone. Yet, magically, once the Americans showed up, and, you know, all over that 9/11 hoax, you know, saying that, oh, it was done by some Afghans, and don't even get me started. If you don't know the ties, direct ties of those buildings blowing up to the Bush crime syndicate, then I can't teach you anything tonight. But now they're back and bigger and better than ever. And as we've already talked, it's about 93% of all heroin production is now coming directly out of Afghanistan, which is, of course, United States Inc. territory now. Vaccines, again, autism has been exploding because of the vaccines, and people need to be aware of heavy metal poisoning and stuff like that, again, in those vaccinations to act as quote-unquote preservatives. Okay, aluminum is not good for you, ladies and gentlemen. I promise you it's not. And yes, even your soda cans have little particles of aluminum floating around in there, so you're probably ingesting some of that as we speak. Ah, then we got the joyful Fukushima, the radiation coming from Fukushima, and let us not forget all of those other factories and radioactive plants that are running around where a little bit of radiation seeps out. Yeah, it's affecting you, folks. It's getting to you. Dirty electricity, another one of my favorites on that particular subject, because nobody really talks about dirty electricity. You're not aware of it. You're just being bombarded left, right, and center. All of these little outlets that are scattered throughout your home, you know, they do let out particles, and those particles in turn affect you. And that, of course, makes a huge impact on your body. There's this Lou Gehrig's disease. Lou Gehrig's disease is a fairly new thing. And there's a direct tie-in with Lou Gehrig's disease and electricity. It's a one-on-one correlation, people. So you can think a little bit about that. Yes, here's that proverbial one that gets us banned from all of these websites. And, of course, all of these YouTube and Facebook really hate this 5G. Oh, did I just say it? Yes, I did. Sorry, Marty. I think we're going to get banned on Facebook for saying that. Again, folks, you're getting bombarded, and that is a military technology that is designed to harm people. It is not going to make much of a difference on your upload or download speeds of the internet, but it will make a huge, huge, huge impact on your health. And coincidentally, some of these countries that have had high rates of 5G are also the ones that are quote-unquote suffering under the affliction, quote-unquote, of this COVID-19 thing. Things that make you go, Not to mention all the endless distractions, the bread, the circuses. It's propaganda 101, however you want to look at it. This world is as chaotic as one can get. There isn't any other way of saying it. Absolute and total chaos in every sense of the word. You think we can't do better than this? I know we can. And in doing so, we can change everybody's perspective on this world. How many people do we have committing suicide now? Staggering numbers. They lost their job. They lost their significant other. They've been separated from their friends and their families because of this particular quote-unquote plandemic, like I like to call it. We see it. And yet we do accept it at face value because the media tells us to. Then we feel sad, and then, of course, somebody makes a lot of money when they says, yes, we put on death certificate, COVID-19. Hey, another really large paycheck. Whoopee. And, of course, the individuals that lost their family or friend, you know, they're suffering and feeling hurt, and all of a sudden they see that words COVID-19 on the death certificate, and so their attitude is, oh, this is evil, this is real, this is, well, again, folks, there's a different financial incentive here, and all roads lead to Bill Gates, as you have heard us talk about. Now, that brings to the next point. Debate. Well, again, we're not allowed to debate the issue. We're not permitted to ask questions. We're not permitted to say, hey, you know, your opinion, you're welcome to it, but here's my opinion, and here's the facts to back up my opinion to go against your fiction that has no facts. It's just emotional hearsay. Why is it not permitted? Because you can't go against the narrative while you're enslaving a planet. You know, freedom of choice, freedom of thinking. We're supposed to have that in theory. Slaves aren't allowed to think, much less think for themselves. They are controlled, and they're controlled for a reason. This is why the narrative is so important. Can't break the cycle of control. And folks, if you're not paying attention, the control grid has been going up for decades, but it has never been as strong as it is now. The prison gates are surrounding you as you speak. And that magical escape hatch is quickly going away. People really do need to see the big picture. But yet they're still distracted. Distracted with who they're going to vote for their slave master this next time around. Remember, folks, you're voting for the head of a corporation. Voting for this Senate and the House members, that's the board of directors. And when you do that, you're consenting to their system and you're consenting to the decisions they make. So by participating in their little sham, and folks, if you haven't been paying attention, the control grid includes controlling who counts the votes. Presidential elections, votes get counted overseas. Just thought y'all would like to know that. Don't think those machines can't get manipulated? We've had several election cycles since those machines have come into being. again at Sham back in 2000 with regards to the hanging chads. That was a design system to put us under this electronic voting booth. And those computers can be manipulated. It's a lot easier to manipulate a program than it is to manipulate thousands of reams of paper with crosses or X's or punches in them. That's the truth, people. You don't have to like it. But I think it was Stalin that made the sentence, "I care not who casts a vote, I care only who counts them." Same thing applies here, folks. Exact same thing. All right. The natural law concept of do no harm, we've already talked about that. We have this prostitute propaganda ministry masquerading as news. Again, folks, when you hear all the same stories from all these different news outlets, and they're using the same words, same fluctuations, same starting and stopping points, you have to ask yourself a question. Is it off of a script? You have no choice but to answer the question is yes. Remember, the media is controlled, all the major media is controlled by, I think it's 8 corporations. Only 8. And I think even those are starting to tendence down even further. So folks, if you're not aware, you know, years and years and years ago, it was a court case. It was very specific on that subject. The news is entertainment. It's not about informing you of any actual facts. Now, you'll get some facts in the news, but you'll also get a whole lot of propaganda. And from the crime syndicate's perspective, all of that quote-unquote propaganda is just what they call entertainment. Hey, you can be entertained and be stupid, or you can do your own research and actually learn something. And that, again, leads to another problem, this willful ignorance. Willful ignorance. It is so prevalent. It is just, it seeps through the entire system. You have the power of all of the knowledge that has been accumulated over lifetimes at your fingertips with a few keystrokes and a good search engine. And yet, we're more fascinating with who's winning on a game show or Dancing on the Stars or some other generally not worth watching entertainment, if you can call it that. You know, I like saying there's 300 channels with nothing to watch. Learn something, folks. Go to bed at night saying, "Hey, I learned a few things today." Is that what you really do when you're sitting there watching all the quote-unquote sitcoms? And don't get me wrong, I enjoy a good situation comedy too. I even enjoy a good movie every so often. But if you're spending 8 to 12 hours a day watching Netflix after you come home from work, or you're spending 8 or 12 hours a day playing on video games, you're squandering your life. You'll get nothing out of it. You're going to die a whole lot earlier because you're being bombarded with all this crap coming off your computer screen or television. But most importantly, you have nothing to contribute to the knowledge base of society. And passing on some of that wisdom to your young people or to your friends or your families. Wisdom is not to be held back, it is to be shared. People need to know things. So this is why we come together and we talk about certain issues. The problem is, so many people have been brainwashed, minds have been molded to the power of the state, what they want people to think, and manipulated to the propaganda, and yes, now they can even be manipulated to the 5G. There's that letter and word number again. Oh my goodness. Yeah, we don't want to admit these truths, but they are. Doesn't change the fact that they're true. We've been put into a cult, ladies and gentlemen. We've all become members of this cult. Whether we wanted to be a part of it or not, here we are today as members of it. We are ascribing ourselves to a flag. We're ascribing ourselves to a political party. We're ascribing ourselves to a religious philosophy. Cult after cult after cult after cult. But you look at all of these cults and ask yourself, is a single one of them preaching the concept of do no harm? Are they? Or are they promoting the same system that we're in right now that has caused us all kinds of problems, brought us to several wars, mass murder on a huge budget, and a society of people that are miserable, exploited, extorted from? The answer is obvious, ladies and gentlemen, or at least it should be. Anyway, I know changing people's thinking, not always easy to do. You know, I like to tell people logic, reason. And I know a lot of people make decisions based on emotions, especially women. And that's how we're built. I get it, okay? It doesn't change the facts of the truth, though. And when you're using emotion without logic and reason, when hysteria takes precedence over critical thinking, this is the end result of it. We're seeing it. We're surrounded by it. And some of that critical thinking skills can be misconstrued and taken to an extreme. And again, I've seen that again and again, especially with political parties and with religious fervors and stuff like that. So yeah, it can be a big problem too. That's why there's supposed to be this balance. Logic, reason, with critical thinking and some emotional input. That's why when a man and a woman pair bond for real, they each have strengths and they each have weaknesses, and the other party is supposed to help with the weaknesses and, you know, get covered by the strengths of the other man or the woman. You get a foundation which to build from. And a stable family leads to stable young people, and stable young people leads to a stable society. But is anything that you're seeing right now looking stable at all? While you have this impression that we're here on proverbial sinking sand, wallowing in it, trying not to drown and get sucked under by it. I think it's pretty obvious. Of course, I'm biased being on the guy talking right now, but hey. Buddy, you back yet?
I'm here. Right. I got knocked off for a minute.
Before I
yeah.
go to the next one?
Yeah, I do. Listening to all of this, one of the things that we seem to have a hard part time imparting to people is that when we vote, we are not voting for the President of the United States. And I pointed out that it was most apparent during the Bush-Cheney crime syndicate. When he was speaking as the head of the corporation, he referred to himself as the chief executive. And when he was speaking as president, because he's actually working in two capacities, he referred to himself as the president. And one represented the Constitution, the other corporate interests. And people said, oh, that's just, you know, it all means the same thing. It does not. Presidents do not have the authority to issue executive orders, but heads of corporations do. And you've got a president in office, if you can call him a president, who is issuing these things as fast as he can sign his name. This is lawmaking, law changing by the head of the country. This is only supposed to happen in Congress. This, all bills are supposed to originate. All laws are supposed to originate in the House. But you've got a president, and you had preceding presidents who did the same thing, who bypassed all of that, and under the head of being a corporate officer, using executive orders, and then the even more dangerous signing statements, that when something got passed that Bush did not like, and he was forced to sign it to keep his face publicly, he then issued a signing statement that went to the heads of all of his agencies. These are all the people that work under him. ordering them not to abide by the law. And if that didn't point out to you the fact that you have two things operating there, this corporation and then this pseudo-presidency, again, the president has no authority to do that, but that corporate officer does. So, and trying to get people to understand what they're dealing with, and I hear people all the time, they're fighting this, fighting that, fighting something else, and I'll say it again, I've said it many times, if you don't understand how this stuff is constructed, what kind of law is it operating under? Is it the common law? Is it international law? Is it contract law? What is it? If you don't understand how it's constructed, you can't do squat. And even when you do understand, although it might ease things for you launching your part of the battle, you're more than likely going to lose anyway because the whole system is rigged against you. You're not supposed to win anything. But, yeah, that, and John, I don't know about you this year. I do not intend to vote for the first time in my life. As an adult, I do not intend to vote. I am not going to be handed two buffoons and told that you have to pick between these two unqualified candidates, and that's all there is. If this is the best we've got, we are in bigger trouble than even I thought we were. But those are my opinions. Go ahead, John.
Well, as soon as I discovered that I was voting for my slave master, that ended. And here's the thing, folks. Once I started learning about law and I learned this thing called words have meaning, and you better know what the words represent, the next time you go to the post office, a lot of times the post office will have a voter registration card there. Just look at it. Look at the voter registration card or go down in election commission and ask to see one of theirs. You'll just see where they change your citizenship status. And you don't get it. They get you under contract in that little piece of paper when you sign up. And remember, when you register, Regis means king, tar, the black oily substance that binds. When you register of your own free will to participate in this hoax of elections for your slave owners, well, the beautiful thing about that is now you get to put up with whatever garbage they mandate from you. You know, there's that old statement, I've heard it years and years and years ago, you get the government that you deserve. Ladies and gentlemen, all of you participating in the voting thing, you get the government that you deserve. You really do. And I have zero sympathy for you. And the guy that's telling you this, I was there once. From the age of 18 until I was in my early 40s. I was a faithful primaries, early voting, the whole nine yards, general election, midterms, the whole nine yards. I was there. In fact, I was a candidate a few times, state representative a few times, and city council a few times. Didn't know any better. Didn't know any better. I thought to myself, yeah, they don't dare like me. Man, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to fight for the people. Taxation is theft. Philosophical opinions and your garbage, we don't need it. Oh, you want to spend millions of dollars on this BS project over here that's going to enrich a couple of your financial contributors to your reelection campaign. Yeah, you think I'm going to let you get away with that garbage? Oh, no, not if I have a say about it. Didn't know everything was a corporation back then. United States Incorporated, 28 United States Code 3002, Section 15A. State of, city of, county of, whatever. Again, folks, they're all corporations, and you can verify this on Dun & Bradstreet. Just go to the website and type in whatever you want to search, and you'll pull up their financials. Okay? There it is, and you can even order them if you want to spend a few dollars and get them sent directly to your door. Want to know what the United States Army spends? Well, there it is. Pay the fee and get to the report. United States Inc., Tennessee, State of Michigan, City of Clarksville, get all that information. But again, that might impact your thinking. might decide to wait a minute. Maybe I don't want to be party to all this garbage. Higher level thinking, people. When you sit there and, but, if I don't vote, I'm going to get some other scumbag, and they're going to get a scumbag is worse than my scumbag. The lesser of two evils is still evil, ladies and gentlemen. And again, I got really tired of voting. You know, time I voted for one of the main party presidential candidates was the first time George Bush Jr. ran, when all that drama come up. And right after that was, of course, 9/11, which sent up all kinds of red flags. And back then, I didn't realize how bad the crime syndicate was. And, you know, since learned so much about the Bush dynasty. Don't even get me started. If you don't know about Grandpa Bush, well, he was one of those that helped finance Adolf Hitler over Nazi Germany. But, hey, you know, this is just... They're just oil men from Texas. No, they were bankers long before they were oil men. And Pappy Bush, well, let's just say CIA. If that doesn't send up more than a few red flags and assassinations of a certain president on a Dallas street one day. And, well, again, don't have time to get into all that here. We're talking about anarchy, right, Marty? Get back on track, John. All right, we've got to take off the blinders, ladies and gentlemen. Look around you. See the bigger picture, because the bigger picture sure has something to show you. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to like what you see. It does mean you may have to rethink your philosophical opinions about things. But I'm warning you, it's a whole lot easier to do changes this way than it is to watch it happen on the street corners as everybody's busy killing each other. That's where we're going, ladies and gentlemen. And I, for one, have no desire to see it on any American streets. I don't even want to see it in any foreign streets. Do no harm, principle people. Do no harm. Hold the criminal, hold them accountable. Now, we have to plant seeds of knowledge, because that's truthfully the only thing that's going to make a difference. That's the only thing that's going to stop this crazy system from going to its full fruition. Okay, this is a dystopian society, people. It is a dystopian society in every sense of the word.
John, what does the word dystopian mean?
Hell on earth.
Okay. I think that's pretty fair. Okay.
Yeah, hold on a minute. I'll give you an exact definition. But hell on earth is a really good dystopian. All right, relating to or denoting an imagined state of society where there is great suffering or injustice. A dystopia is a community or society that is undesirable or frightening. It is an antonym of utopia, a term that was coined by Sir Thomas More and figured as the title of his best-known work, published in 1516, which created a blueprint for an ideal society with minimal crime, violence, and poverty. Well, ladies and gentlemen, do you see a society with minimal crime, violence, or poverty? I sure don't. On the contrary, I see the exact opposite, which is why we call it a dystopian society. All right, back to work. Folks, there are a lot of us that are sacrificing our time, we're sacrificing our money, we're sacrificing our life force, we're sacrificing our relationships. We're sacrificing time with friends and family, and we're doing this of our own free will. Because what we see here in the society that we live in now, in the future society that we see coming based on historical past, presence, it scares us. And for good reason it scares us. Because in every single example we've seen the same garbage again and again. The end result is mass suffering, massive amounts of war, lots of dead bodies, lots of hunger, lots of misery, and a world that people with any, even two brain cells that function properly, would never want to be a party to. We can do better than this, folks. I'm telling you, I know we can. So when we don't get what we should want, who do we blame for that? Yes, we can point to the politicians. We can point to the bankers. We can point to the clerk masquerading as a judge. We can point to the clowns and the costume badges and guns. Point to the bar mafia. Yeah, we can point to all of these things. But here's the thing. We can also put those fingers, those other three fingers, pointing back at us. Think about it. Because we're the ones consenting to it. Therefore, it is our quote-unquote will that this be our society. I don't want it. But clearly a lot of status do. And you've heard me say what the subject matter of tonight's commentary is. Anarchists living in a status world. And it's a slave planet. Whether you're willing to admit that truth or not doesn't change the fact that it is true. Look at where your paycheck goes. Look at it honestly. At the end of the week, did you even have enough to buy enough food, all the groceries you needed, pay the electric bill, pay the rent? Or are you sitting there sweating because you haven't figured out how to pay the bill again this month? That credit card is already maxed out at 29% interest. Got a little note from the bank saying, well, we're sorry, but we're going to have to call in that loan we gave you a few years ago. This is a deliberate choice of the bankers. This is about transferring wealth, people, at a level. I thought 2008 was bad. 2008-2011 time frame, that was outrageous. That was a giant pillaging of the planet. It has nothing on the 2020 pillaging that's happened so far. And we haven't seen the beginning of it yet. We haven't even scratched the surface. Business closings, they wiped out tens of millions of jobs. You're going to see real estate, commercial real estate available pennies on the dollar. Residential real estate pennies on the dollar. Why? Because all these people lost a job, can't pay their bills. They're going to end up losing their homes because of the crime syndicate coming in there and saying, well, you didn't meet the terms of the contract. I don't have time to get into, again, the fraud of the kangaroo courts today and the fraud of this thing called debt and how the banks manipulate that. I don't have time. But the point is, it's another lie to promote their system built on nothing but lies. Do no harm, ladies and gentlemen. If for no other reason than for the love of a planet full of your neighbors and everything else, so that your kids, grandkids, and all those other people have a future. Because I'm telling you right now, they don't. Not if things continue to go the way they are. You know, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I was actually saying this to Marty earlier today. You know, Jesus was an anarchist. And your average Christian, well, they're a status. Okay, and what is a status? Started the conversation by defining anarchy, but we didn't define what a status was. Status is somebody who likes the status quo. Okay, that simple. They like it. They're not willing to do anything to change it, which by default means they like it even if they hate it to the bottom of the soul. Okay, you're not going to get any changes until you make those changes happen. And a few rebellious anarchists out there screaming at the top of our lungs and complaining about the system and exposing the system and the corruption in it is not going to change it. Not until a whole lot more people come right alongside us and then join that little party that I so lovingly like to refer to as Stop Consenting. You know, when a few people stop consenting, they don't care. When a whole lot more stop consenting, well, then it kind of becomes a little bit of a problem, and they may make an example or two out of a few of them. But again, no big concern. But all of a sudden, what happens with tens of millions of people stop dissenting? Tens of millions of people decide that they're tired of the corruption, the fraud, the theft, the murder, the trafficking of young people, the stealing of properties under the color of law. All of a sudden, then, the bankers have problems. All of a sudden, the politicians have problems. And even the armies have problems. Okay? Folks, you really need to consider everything that we're talking about tonight, because it's important. You can do better than this. All righty. Truth, logic, reason versus the propaganda. Well, goodness, we've talked about the propaganda. We've talked about truth, logic, and reason. In a world built on lies, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's that simple. That's all we're doing here, folks, talking about truth. And everybody should want the truth. At least that's what they say they want, right? Unless, of course, it's unpopular or might go against the grain or might get them labeled like a future potential domestic terrorist or some bullshit like that.
Don't you love the stuff they come up with, John? The I know I'm on two Homeland Security lists, possible suspected domestic terrorist, and a watch list. I'm a dangerous person. I'm an old lady, and I'm a dangerous person. I just, Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been saying it for years. If I'm not on about 20 government watch lists, I have failed miserably. Anyway.
You're not doing your job.
I am not doing my job. You know, and as a friend of mine says, you know, if you haven't been to Facebook jail a few times, you need to step up your game. You know, what can you say, right?
Yep.
All right. But, folks, the truth is that we need to unlock our minds. And, again, that lies the problem. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's the biggest issue. When your mind has been brainwashed to the degree that it has been brainwashed, and the control grid has put all these thoughts into your thinking processes, where instead of doing actual thinking, it's just automatic responses based on pre-programmed, you know, input, well, there you are. You know, we can look and we can see different perspectives and approaches to things. What road can we take that's a little bit different from the one we're taking now? Well, first of all, decide that you'd rather, instead of voting for your corporate owner, you instead sit there and get together with all of your neighbors and say, hey, we got some issues here. Let's discuss and see what we can get accomplished using voluntarism. Voluntarism, there's a thought. Voluntary interactions with each other. Remember, folks, it wasn't always all of this quote-unquote free money created out of nothing, which means nothing. We still had roads that still got built. Still had school got built. You know, the people of the community got together and said, you know what? I think we need to build something over here. I think we need to build that road. Or I think we need to build that water well. So what did the men do? He says, yeah, we agree with you. You know, you look at some of these alternate communities where all the men get together and they put up a building. The women get together and they, of course, cook all the meals and set up the tables and make sure the men have all the drinks and stuff like that as they're busy slaving away to put up that barn. But what happens after a day or two? Commitment of a few men, some hours of work, some supplies, and all of a sudden there, where there was nothing, now you have a building. You think we can't do that again? You think it just takes some other nationalities or other personalities to do that, that we as Americans can't do the exact same thing? Come on, folks, you're better than that, you're smarter than that. Especially since so many of the buildings already exist. You know, one of the problems that we're having, though, and this is the biggest one, is each one of us are in relationships, okay, whether we're talking friends or significant others. I don't care which one we're talking about, or even just acquaintances at work or whatever. All of us have different hopes and different dreams and different perspectives of how we see the world. And in so doing, we also have a different philosophy of life. And we've gotten to the point where we cannot have an agreement to disagree. We've actually got to make it our way or the highway. And again, what kind of logic is that? What kind of logic? And I was reminded that over the weekend here, because I went to a local flea market when I was in. And there was a sign up there. And the sign said this: regardless of how you feel about the mask mandate, please be kind to one another. Man, I wanted to go up there and shake the owner's hand. That was the first time I saw a sign on this hoax that I could actually applaud with. There were people inside the store. There were people inside the store, including the employees, that were not wearing a mask, and yours truly was not wearing one as well.
I won't wear one.
And there were other...
Yep. Yeah, go ahead.
And there were other ones that were. But here's the thing, we weren't getting in each other's faces about it. Okay? Be nice to one another. Be kind to one another. What a novel concept. I mean, where did that come from, Marty? What kind of crazy thinking is that? We need to be at each other's throats. We need to be killing each other because they think differently than we do.
That's a socialist communist. I know what it is. You know somebody's going to put some kind of label on it of what it is and why you should not want to do it. I agree. It is a strange concept of be kind to one another. I recently was in a store here, and they had a sign on the door that said masks are required, not on this girl. And I walked in, and I would say at least three-fourths of the people in the store had masks on, and the rest of us didn't. And this lady finally went up to me, and she said, "You're not wearing a mask. You noticed." I said, "No." And she says, "Well," she said, "don't you think you should be?" And I said, "No." I said, "I have a particular reason for not wearing one." And she said, "What's that?" And I said, "Do you know who Cat Williams is?" And she goes, "Yeah, he's a comedian." And I said, "Well, I have the same syndrome Cat Williams has. I'm allergic to stupid shit." And I just went on. But it just, I thought this woman was actually going to become physical with me for not wearing a mask. And I thought, you think you're safe with that mask on? What threat do I present to you? And but John, I'm always surprised, and particularly with this, of how quickly people jumped on this. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. And adopted this and put these masks on. For what? What do you think you're doing? "Well, it's not for me. I'm trying to protect you. I don't need protecting. I don't have this. And you don't either. You wouldn't be out here walking around. So what do you have that mask on for?" "Well, it's out of respect for you." "No, this hasn't got anything to do with me. This is all about you." And I'm always amazed how people will take something like this and transfer the cause for it to you. To you. It's for you that they're doing it. They're suffering, but they're doing it for you. "No, you're not doing anything for me. If you was, you'd be thinking." But anyway, go ahead, John. I'm sorry. You're not.
Sorry, I had to reject the phone call that came in right when I needed to hit the unmute button. Okay. Yeah. Gotta love it when people call while I'm doing a radio show.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we are, though. But again, folks, here's the issue. We have to get to the state where we're all going to have to live with one another, regardless of where we stand on the issues. And divide and conquer is one of the tools that the masters use to keep us fighting amongst each other so we don't actually get together and actually pay attention to who the real problem is. Well, the real problem has been blatant for years. The real problem has been exposed for years. You know, even if you want to talk about the bar mafia, you know, there's a treatise on the law. It's called The Law. It was written by Frederick Bastiat. And Frederick made a comment in his little thing, and if you sit there and read through the treatise, it's worth, it's worth the read. You can Google it. It's called The Law. You will discover that the same garbage that we're dealing with now, he was dealing with several hundred years ago. Shocking, isn't it, Marty?
Yes.
Absolutely shocking.
Yes.
Yeah, and as far as the virtue signaling of by people, well, I'm doing it for you, or to share care, concern, spare me with your virtue signaling. I don't need it.
Yes, yeah.
I have critical thinking skills. I can quite capable of making my own decisions, just like you are. And I won't, unlike you, make a deal out of it. I wear a mask, more power to you. Don't want to wear a mask, more power to you. I don't care either way. It's not affecting me. You know, I'll say hello to you either way. Doesn't hurt my feelings at all. You know, I was walking down the strip, you know. I enjoyed the day with my young people out in the middle of a wooded area with a nice little river running next to it and enjoying the scenery and all that kind of stuff. And it was a public walkway where a lot of people were walking around and enjoying the same kind of thing. And a lot of them were not wearing masks. In fact, a majority were not wearing masks. And I was very pleased to see that. And, you know, as we would pass each other on the pathway, we'd be saying hello and that kind of stuff. And it was all good. But there was a few people that were wearing masks. And it was very different. It was almost exclusively this, Marty. I would say, you know, good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case might be, to these people with masks. And they didn't return the same comment to me. Doing great, how are you? Like the people that were not wearing masks did. Mm-hmm. And there was even a couple of people that, you know, saw that we weren't wearing masks. So they got all the way over, you know, and again, didn't say anything, you know, even though we acknowledged their being there and said, hey, how are you doing today? You know, just hurry up and get past me. You know, I don't need to, you know. And these people are not enjoying the beautiful air. There's a beautiful sunny day in Indiana. And here I was having a great time with my family. We were laughing. We were smiling. We were taking pictures with each other. We were holding hands with each other. You know, I even played, you know, the sleigh for a while. As all of my kids jumped on my back, even the older ones. And I carried them for a while just because. Remembering days of old when they were very young, and that was a very normal thing to do for dad and babies, you know?
Right, yeah.
And people being people, enjoying life, what a concept.
Yeah.
But do you think people are enjoying their lives right now? Locked up in their homes, being bombarded with all the propaganda, and folks, you've got to realize something. This is called trauma-based mind control.
But John,
mind control, that's what you're going through. Go ahead, Marty.
What I have noticed about these people locking themselves in their house and the mask wearing and all of this is these people are actually reveling in their suffering. Almost without exception, it's like they are getting some pleasure out of putting themselves through this. And again, it gets down to the look what I'm doing for you, but they're enjoying this. There is a pleasure derived from this. What I have to say to you people is this: if that's what it takes to make you happy, you need to move on somewhere else. John, the day you described with your children, it sounds wonderful. And why wasn't everybody else that could be out there doing that out there doing that? And that people willingly went along with this when it was so obviously contrived when it so obviously was meant to scare and terrify us. And this is what bothers me about the American people. We got no spine. We got no... There's a few of us out there fighting like hell to straighten things up. But the rest of them are, oh, I've got too much to worry about. I've had a hard enough day. And, you know, and all of this belly aching and whining and crying. Where's your spine? I remember back in the... You remember when they protested the Vietnam War? There were protests going on all over the country. You know, and on college campuses. You know, they were hotbeds of political whatever. You don't see that anymore. These kids can't get together enough energy to mount a legitimate protest on anything or to demand anything. They might see something's wrong, but they just have no motivation to try and change it. And this is one of the things I have noticed, particularly about people from like the 20 to 30 year old range. There's nobody there. For the most part, there is just nobody there. There's no motivation. There's no interest. There's no nothing. Nothing. These used to be the movers and the shakers. And it just, I don't know. I don't know what's, you know, you talk about mind control. That has to be it. Because something is decidedly absent from the national psyche. Something is gone that used to be there. And this willingness to fight, this willingness to stand up and demand. And we don't see that anymore, John, at all. We don't see it.
No. And again, a lot of it's been bred out of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's been deliberate. We're so used to being bossed around by anybody and everybody. I remember watching one video there where some schmuck, they put a costume on it and gave him a little badge, and he was sitting there in the middle of a, I think it was a store of some kind. And long story short, he was busy barking orders at people to not step in a certain square. Okay, it was that simple. It was like, you know, a 10-square-foot area. There was all this room. But people would normally walk over this part of the, you know, walkway as well. It wasn't like it wasn't part of the walkway, because it was.
Uh-huh.
But here he was barking, don't you step in my square. And because he was wearing a costume badge and a gun, you know, all these people would do that wide berth around him. And you can watch the video. It was there a couple of years ago on YouTube. And then they did the same experiment, only this time they took away the costume. This time he was just a guy standing there.
Okay.
And a totally different attitude. Oh, he doesn't have the badge. He doesn't have the costume. So they give him, instead they look at him with a kind of a dirty look and ignore him, which is what we really need to do with all these costume criminals.
Yeah.
Remember, they're just corporate employees. But you see the difference in mental thinking there. Very different mental thinking.
Yes.
If the CEO of Walmart came to you and said, you need to give me your guns and you need to do what I tell you to do, would you look at the CEO at Walmart and say, yes, master?
Well,
what do you think
no.
you're doing when you do the same thing when you agree with the Trumpster or with Obama, a.k.a. Barry Satoro? Okay. Same concept, same corporation, abusing you, violating your rights with impunity. But hey, 14th Amendment court to death slaves, more power to you. You know, I don't care if you people want to be slaves. That's your choice. Just don't try to bring me and my family into it.
Yeah.
All right. Another problem we got, Marty, is a lot of people who are pretending to be asleep who aren't. They actually know what's going on, but they, like I said earlier, they simply do not want to make any waves.
I don't want to be seen as being an outsider, and I don't want people to feel offended by me.
You know, this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with being a little bit offensive. I encourage people, you know, when you're trying to have a conversation to sway people to your way of thinking, you know, it's that old statement, it's easier to lure flies with honey than it is with vinegar. Well, if you're busy cussing them out and saying, you know, they're probably not going to learn anything from you. But if you sit there and say, hey, my name's John, and let me tell you what I'm thinking, and be personable about it, even if you walk away and agree to disagree. But again, we're not getting that. It's like you were talking about a minute ago when you said somebody you thought was going to do fisticuffs with you all over a mask issue. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. How insane we have gotten as a society. Okay? And I remember it was, it was an article earlier today, a Nashville city councilwoman, no less, made comment that she wanted people that refused to wear masks to be charged with attempted murder and murder.
Oh,
my
God. This
is an elected official in Nashville. And I'm going, are you kidding me? Yeah, this is ridiculous. Okay? But again, the slave class cannot question their owners. Well, can't have that. Can't question that narrative. My goodness. That is a must continue unabated. Bow down and worship at the altar. You know, we get violence. And remember, folks, violence by state agents is still violence. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it came from the state. And again, the definition of terrorism, folks, to bring about desired results, I mean, everything the state does is terrorism 101. Okay? It is. It's terrorism 101 for all the same reason. For their political philosophies and their goals and, you know, they're real dead bodies, folks. Real people getting buried. Other people being thrown in cages, some for a week, some for a few months, some for years, with no home party and no contract, I like that. But Marty, you know, I know we're getting close on time to end the show, but here's the thing, though. We are on a race against time from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And that race against time is this. If you have not noticed, in the last 5 months, they have changed our society progressively in a way that I thought would take a few more years, not a few months. It's simple, folks. This world has gotten to that point. And the changes that we saw in the last 5 months, and remember, when they shut down its different states originally, that was what they call the season of sacrifice. The season of sacrifice. Around the 20th of March, and it goes to the May 1st. That's an actual satanic holiday. You think those dates are a coincidence? No, they're not a coincidence. A lot of these protests, quote unquote, which are, like I say, nothing more than riots. There may be a few legitimate protesters in there, but most of them are paid agent provocateurs. Okay, again, they're designed to bring about a desired change, problem, reaction, solution. Folks, you're surrounded by fascists. You're being ruled by fascists. Communities are being destroyed. Livelihoods destroyed. Hopes, dreams, trampled and destroyed. And they're doing it through coercion and violence, propaganda, and basically the power of the state to impose their will upon the masses of people. Anarchy is not chaos, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said earlier, anarchy is simply no masters, no slaves. You're being socially engineered by corporations for profit. They have alienated you and your families from each other. We call that alienation of affection in the legal world, which is what it is. And because of that, you're getting a lot of hopelessness, a lot of suffering. We're sociable by our very nature. And in so doing all of that, they are killing us slowly and meticulously. And while they do that, we don't know. But they clearly have no qualms about it. They aren't going to lose any sleep about it. Marty, I'm getting really tired of this society, man.
Very
tired of it.
I think a lot of people are. Like I say, what kills me is,
and
it's just, go ahead, John.
Well, I was just going to finish off, folks. But, here's the issue. We can do better, like I've been saying. If you like what you heard today, or at least it got you to think a little bit critically, you can also hear me on with Tyler Davenport, also on Alternative Public Radio International on Blog Talk. You can find my website over there, IlluminatiTrainingAcademy.com, IlluminatiTrainingAcademy.com, and, of course, my Facebook page, John Lecrone. Lecrone is spelled L-E-C-K-R-O-N-E, and it'll be john.lecrone.16 on Facebook. And I share a lot of information, as does Marty. We expose an awful lot on our Facebook page. We have real conversations, and we write real articles, because we want to teach people what's really going on behind the scenes. Back to you, Marty.
Yep. All right. The one thing I will say about the social media pages, when it comes to me, if you can't make your argument without calling other people names, using profanity, using jingoism like fake news, I'm so sick of that. Propaganda, it's divisive. If you can't make your argument without all this crap, and especially the prize, you know, conspiracy theorist, don't come to my page. I don't have time for you. I'll listen to anybody's reasoned argument as long as you're civil. But I won't listen to BS. And if this is the only way you can express yourself, you need to move on somewhere else where they enjoy that kind of stuff. I don't. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow night with Marcia Joyner and Betrayed by Hospice. And this show has really, really taken off, especially since they murdered all those people at that nursing home out there in New York. And by the way, those people did not die of COVID 4 days after the COVID patients were put in there. Hospice showed up because they're familiar with death. Yes, they most certainly are. They take out about 180,000 people a year prematurely. And all those people in there just simultaneously died. Gee, I wonder how that happened. But anyway, we deal with it on this show on Betrayed by Hospice on an individual level. Families talking about how their loved one was murdered right in front of them, and they didn't realize what they were doing to them. And by the way, for those of you who don't know it out there, the reason they are able to withdraw food and hydration when they call futility of care is because food and hydration has been reclassified from a human right, a human necessity, into medical treatment. So when they call futility of care and they stop all medical treatment, they stop food and water. So they are starving and dehydrating your loved one right in front of you while they load them up with drugs and kill them off. But anyway, and then we'll be back Thursday night with the Whistleblower Show, and we're going to be talking about the family courts. And we've got a lady on there that's offered her book, actually a couple of them, that has become quite an expert on this and how they're abusing the laws to do this. And, of course, nobody gives a crap. The law doesn't mean anything as far as I can tell. But anyway, we'll be back. John, thank you for tonight, as always. It's just a wealth of information. The shows are always available in archive, and you can go back and listen anytime you want to. There's no charge for that. And we will be back next week. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and good night.
Good night, world.